the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My brothers and sisters, this past week, I had a sermon written, and I got rid of it this morning. So, what I want to talk to you today about is the Bible study that we had this past Wednesday. At 10:30, we have a Zoom Bible study, and it's always really interesting. I kind of already had a sermon prepared. I thought I was being, you know, getting ahead of myself and actually doing well at Christmas time. But the Bible study that we had got me thinking a little more deeply and a little more critically about the lessons that we have, and especially this lesson from the Gospel of Luke today. And so what I would like to talk to you about is about the Blessed Virgin Mary. There have not been too many sermons, I think, on the Blessed Virgin Mary in most Protestant churches. We seem to be a little squeamish about talking about Mary. And I think that that's unfortunate. We often, though, do come to this conclusion and hear the phrase, you know, Mary, meek and mild. But I want to push back against that. I want us to take a look at the scripture that we have today and see that Mary was anything but meek and mild.
Got mail.
When the angel Gabriel comes to Mary, he greets her and he says, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." And Mary is like, she said, the scripture says she's much perplexed by this greeting and she's wondering what it's all about. And she has to be thinking to herself, "Oh great, what's this?" And then she gets this message from the angel Gabriel that she's found favor with God, that she's going to conceive and bear a son. Now, I want us to think about the time and the place that this was happening. Mary was a young woman. We don't know exactly how old. According to the customs of the time and the place that she was in, she could have been as young as 14 years of age. She may have been, you know, upwards of 20. We just don't know exactly how old she was. Needless to say, in many respects, she was a child. She was a young person. And in this time and place, as someone who would have had a child out of wedlock, bad things were going to happen to you. You were going to be ostracized by the community. You were going to be looked down upon. You were going to be shunned by many in your town, in your family. Much less, never mind the fact that she was engaged to this man named Joseph, and adultery carried a penalty far more worse than shunning. She would have been stoned to death at Joseph's command. Mary doesn't seem to let any of that deter her. This strong-willed woman says, okay. She even actually pushes back a little at the angel and she says, you know how babies are made, right? That hasn't happened for me. And the angel answers her. It seems to the angel a very reasonable question to be asked. Not one to try to deny what was being asked of her, but one of just the mere logistics of how do you think this is going to happen. And what's going to happen to Mary is that out of space and time, God will come to her. This incarnation will happen through her. And Mary says yes. Mary says yes, and in doing so, I argue, became the very first Christian, the very first person to say yes to God, to say yes to Jesus Christ, to be a part of this amazing thing. She goes. Maybe she leaves because the angel told her about Elizabeth. Maybe she's going because she is concerned what will happen if the people in her village find out she's pregnant. But she goes, and she visits Elizabeth. And Elizabeth hears Mary's greeting. Elizabeth hears Mary say hello, and inside of her womb, John, who we'll know as John the Baptist, jumps for joy. I want us to back up and think just a little bit about this particular thing. In that time and place, a woman's womb is considered the very seat of her being. Everything that it is to be a woman, to be a person, is centered in her womb. As a matter of fact, the word for womb is rechem in Hebrew. It comes from racham, which means compassion, to hold in protection. And from the very seat of her being, from the heart of her compassion, this child jumps for joy. And this had to be some kind of a jump. Obviously, this is not just your average kicking and moving of a baby in the womb. No, this is something different, and Elizabeth is able to recognize that this is something different. It says the Holy Spirit came upon her. She realizes what's happening. She knew what was promised of her son. Now she realizes what's happening. And as soon as she recognizes this and tells Mary that she recognizes this, Mary, it seems, fully understands what's about to transpire. And Mary launches into this beautiful poem, which we know is the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. She goes on and on to talk about how the world is now obviously going to change. There's something different. The promise of God is being fulfilled in a new and exciting way. And although I will say I don't know that Mary knew every little detail about what would happen with her son, she knew that the world was going to change. She knew. And surely that knowing strengthened her resolve to go forward with all of this, no matter what it meant for her family, her fiancé, for herself. I believe that this gave her strength and resolve to go forward. What a blessing it has been, I believe, to have a woman of such strength and resolve to be the mother of our Savior. Jesus' ministry throughout his many years was speaking about casting down the mighty, raising up the lowly, taking those whom society has cast aside and bringing them to the forefront and putting those whom society has lifted up down, equalizing the great human race. Don't you think he got that from his mother? Don't you think that perhaps those lessons of what it means to be Hebrew, to be the Son of God, to be this new change in the world that the world has longed for since the fall. Don't you think he got that from the lessons he learned from Mary? If Mary can say this in the Magnificat, she knew. She taught her son. It's often interesting to note, there was a man by the name of, Campbell, I believe was his last name. He was a Congregationalist preacher back in the 19th century, and he was sort of the mega preacher of the day, and he had four sons. All of them became these famous preachers around the country, and there was this newspaper man who came to interview the family at one point, and at the end of the interview, he asked this really cheeky question. He said, "So which one of you is the best preacher?" And the four sons and the father all answered at the same time, "Oh, it's Mother. It's Mother." I really do believe that Jesus would have said the same thing. Martin Luther, the great reformer. You would think that he would have been someone who, in his pushback on the Roman Catholic Church and its traditions, from which he was a part and from which we descend also, he would have put aside the veneration of Mary, but he did not. In fact, and I'm going to paraphrase him here, he said that Mary is the most noble Christian of all time, and we can never do her enough honor. But how do we honor this woman who was the mother of our Lord? How do we honor this truly rebel woman who was willing and honored to take on this task of changing the world? Martin Luther said the best way to honor the Virgin Mary is to do what she did, to say yes to God, to say yes to the Holy Spirit, to say yes to changing the world so that all the world might come to God, not by her, but through her Son. And then that all our souls may magnify the Lord. My brothers and sisters, may we honor Mary. May we honor her Son, Jesus Christ. And may we all come to the knowledge and love of God the Father through that Son. Amen.